Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the Murder Tape Chronicles. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present Mercy Kill, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, Blood Money. I never set out to be a killer. I swore an oath to heal, to help, to ease pain. But pain comes in many forms, and some people don't deserve mercy. Some people deserve an ending. My name is Olivia Mercer. I've been an ER nurse for 8 years, and I've seen more death than most cops or soldiers. My hands have stopped more bleeding, restarted more hearts, and held more dying bodies than I can count. But you know what sticks with me the most? The ones who make me question whether saving them was the right thing to do. The abusers. The rapists. The men who bring in their bruised, battered wives and act like they're the victims when she finally fought back. The fathers who shake their infants until their tiny skulls fracture and then cry about how they didn't mean to. The gangsters who strut into my ER, bullet wounds in their chests, stinking of liquor and gunpowder, knowing damn well the lives they've ruined will never be patched up as easily as their skin. And I'm supposed to save them? I used to follow the rules. I used to believe in the system. But the system failed me, failed them, failed all of us. It started with her, a woman named Rachel Stevens. She came in one night with 3 broken ribs, a swollen eye, and a fractured wrist. She didn't cry, didn't make a sound, just sat there on the gurney, staring at the ceiling while I wrapped her wrist, feeling the delicate bones shift beneath my fingers. I had seen this before, too many times before. Who did this to you? I asked, even though I already knew the answer. Rachel didn't move, didn't even blink. Look, I get it. You're scared. But if you want out, we can help. Her hand shot out, gripping mine, her nails digging into my wrist like claws. And that's when she whispered something that changed my life. I don't need help. Her voice was raw, barely audible. I need a way out. I pulled my hand back, trying to keep my expression neutral. I can't do that, I told her. She just smiled. It was the saddest fucking smile I'd ever seen. Everyone has a price, Olivia. The next morning, I found an envelope in my locker. Thick. Heavy. $15,000. No note. No instructions. Just an understanding. And that night, Rachel's husband came into my ER with a stab wound to the gut. He was still conscious. Still breathing. I could have saved him. I should have saved him. Instead, I let his heart fail. No alarms. No panic. Just a gentle push of potassium chloride into his fore, and within seconds his body gave up. A quiet death. A mercy kill. No one questioned it. When Rachel left the hospital, she walked out with her head high and a freedom I had never seen on her face before. And I told myself that I had done the right thing. That was the first. But it wasn't the last. The money kept coming. The names changed, but the story was always the same. A bruised wife, a terrified girlfriend, a child who would never recover from the damage done to them. And then an opportunity. A choice. It's easy if you know how. Potassium chloride for the silent ones. A little too much morphine for the overdoses. The right amount of air in an IV line for the ones that need to go quickly. Death wrapped up neatly in a medical bow. I told myself it was justice. That I was fixing what the system failed to fix. But it wasn't just justice. It was something more. It was power. And I liked it. Then the job came that changed everything. It was a Tuesday night, the ER packed with the usual chaos. Gunshot victims, car crash survivors, drunks fighting the restraints on their gurneys. I was stitching up a guy who had taken a beer bottle to the face when I felt it. That prickling sensation on the back of my neck. Like someone was watching me. I glanced up. There was a man standing in the hallway, wearing a perfectly tailored suit, his hands in his pockets, his dark eyes locked onto mine. He didn't belong here. Most people in the ER had the same look, panic, exhaustion, pain. But not him. He was calm. Too calm. When I finished my stitches, he was still there. And then, as if it was the most natural thing in the world, he stepped forward and handed me a folded piece of paper. My employer would like a word, he said, his voice smooth, controlled. I didn't take the note. And who's your employer? He gave me a small smile. A man who pays well. That got my attention. I took the paper, unfolded it, and stared at the name written in neat black ink. Victor Russo. The breath in my lungs turned to ice. Victor Russo. Son of Dominic Russo. The Russos weren't just a crime family. They were the crime family. The kind of people you didn't cross unless you had a death wish. And their heir, their fucking prince, was lying in one of my ICU rooms, clinging to life. I should have walked away. I should have thrown the note in the trash and pretended I never saw it. But then the man in the suit reached into his pocket and pulled out something else. An envelope. Thick. Heavy. The same weight I had come to recognize. Only this one wasn't $15,000. It was $100,000. His smile never wavered. My employer wants a guarantee that his son won't suffer, he said, tilting his head. Think you can arrange that? I swallowed hard. My fingers tightened around the envelope, my pulse hammering against my ribs. This was different. This wasn't some wife beater or junkie rapist. This was Victor Russo. A mob prince. A single wrong move, and I'd end up in a ditch with a bullet in my head. But $100,000? I nodded. Consider it done. And just like that, I had signed my death sentence. Chapter 2, The Devil's Offer. I knew the moment I shook that man's hand, my life had changed. There were jobs that paid well, and then there were jobs that sealed your fate, and this was one of them. I told myself I'd done worse. I had put men down who deserved it, men who had left trails of broken lives behind them, men whose deaths were a service to the world. But this wasn't the same. Victor Russo wasn't a monster. He was the son of one. And yet, the moment I stepped into his ICU room, I didn't see the heir to a crime empire. I didn't see the prince of a family that had blood on its hands stretching back generations. I saw a man barely clinging to life. 28 years old. Multiple gunshot wounds. A collapsed lung. Internal bleeding that had been controlled just enough to keep him breathing, but not enough to ensure he'd make it out of here. His body was broken, his face pale, his lips dry and cracked. The machines did all the work for him. I stood at the foot of his bed, the soft beep, beep, beep of his heart monitor filling the silence. The monitors said he was still alive. But for how long? I knew how to do it. I had done it before. A push of potassium chloride straight into his forelining. A silent, painless death. The body would relax, the heartbeat would slow, and he'd slip away without a struggle. No alarms. No trauma. No trace. I could do it. And yet, something in me hesitated. It wasn't fear. If anything, it was too easy. The man in the suit, his father's errand boy, had made it clear what was expected. No suffering. But why? That was what gnawed at me. Dominic Russo wasn't a man who showed mercy. He didn't believe in kindness. If his own son was in this hospital, it meant someone had put him here. And if he wanted his son gone, there had to be a reason. I needed answers. The meetup. I don't make mistakes. Not with jobs like these. I've survived this long because I ask the right questions before I take the money. And that's exactly what I plan to do. The note from earlier had an address written on the back. A bar downtown. Not one of the trendy spots filled with drunk college kids and overpriced cocktails. This was the kind of place that didn't have a name, just a red neon sign flickering in the window. A place where men whispered deals over whiskey and knives got pulled faster than credit cards. I arrived just past midnight. The moment I stepped through the door, the air changed. It was thick with smoke, sweat, and tension. Conversations hushed for just a second, eyes flicking toward me before returning to their drinks. They knew. They knew I wasn't one of them. But that didn't matter. I wasn't here to blend in. I found him sitting at a back table, a glass of bourbon in front of him, his cigarette burning low between his fingers. The same man from the hospital parking lot. He didn't even look surprised to see me. Didn't take you for the cautious type, he said, exhaling smoke. That's good. Caution keeps people alive. I slid into the chair across from him. I don't kill unless I know why. He smirked. Morals? How noble. I shook my head. Not morals. Survival. That wiped the smirk off his face. I leaned forward, keeping my voice low. Victor Russo isn't just some rich kid lying in a hospital bed. He's the only heir to the Russo Empire. If Dominic wants him dead, it means he's a liability. I don't work blind, so tell me, why does his own father want him gone? For the first time since I met him, the man looked at me differently. Less like I was an employee and more like a problem. You ask a lot of questions, he muttered. Yeah, I said. And I'm going to keep asking until I get some answers. He exhaled sharply, tapping his fingers against the table. Then, after a long moment, he said three words that made my blood run cold. Victor was talking. I frowned. Talking. He gave a slow nod. to the feds. My stomach twisted. Victor Russo, the heir to the most powerful crime family on the East Coast, was an informant? That was suicide. That was worse than suicide. I leaned back in my chair, my mind racing. If the feds have him, why hasn't Dominic cleaned this up himself? The man smirked. Because killing your own son is messy. Killing a snitch while he's still in custody? Even messier. But a tragic hospital accident. He shrugged. That's just bad luck. The pieces snapped into place. This wasn't about mercy. This wasn't about sparing Victor's suffering. This was about erasing the problem before he could open his mouth. I clenched my jaw. This wasn't what I signed up for. Killing scumbags was one thing. Cleaning up a mob family's mess? That was something else. And then the man in front of me did something that sealed my fate. He pulled another envelope from his pocket. Twice as thick as the first one. 50 grand. And then he pulled another. 50 more. 100,000, he said, setting them down in front of me. For a quick, painless job. Or you can walk away and spend the rest of your short life looking over your shoulder. I stared at the money. It wasn't just the cash. It was the warning. There was no walking away. Not really. I was in this whether I liked it or not. I stood up, snatched the envelopes off the table, and stuffed them into my jacket. Then I walked out the door and into the night, my heart pounding with something I hadn't felt in a long time. Dread. The decision. By the time I got back to the hospital, my mind was set. This wasn't just another job. It was a test. Victor Russo wasn't just some dying man in a bed. He was the only thing standing between the FBI and the entire Russo family. If I killed him, Dominic Russo walked away free untouched. But if I let him live, I made an enemy I couldn't outrun. I took a deep breath, my hands steady as I reached for the syringe. The potassium chloride glistened under the fluorescent lights. All it would take was one push. One push, and this problem would disappear. One push, and I'd walk out of here with more money than I had ever made in my life. I looked at Victor's face. His breathing was shallow. His body was weak, but his eyes were open, and he was staring right at me. I froze. My grip tightened around the syringe. Victor's lips parted, his voice barely a whisper. Help me. My breath caught in my throat. This wasn't just a job anymore. This was a fucking choice. Chapter 3, The Bullet Storm. I stood frozen at the foot of Victor Russo's hospital bed, the syringe in my hand, a heartbeat away from killing him. His eyes, those fucking eyes, burned into mine, hazy from painkillers but sharp enough to recognize exactly what was happening. He knew. He knew I was about to kill him. And then he said it. Help me. That single whisper cracked something inside me. I had spent years convincing myself that what I did was justice. That the people I put down weren't people at all, just monsters in human skin. But this? This wasn't the same. Victor wasn't some wife beater or a child abuser. He was a target. A man set up to die, not for what he had done, but for what he knew. I stared at him, the potassium chloride syringe heavy in my hand. One push and he'd slip away. One push, and I'd walk out of here with 100 grand. One push, and Dominic Russo would win. I sucked in a sharp breath, my pulse hammering in my ears. I had two choices. Kill him and get paid. Or betray the most dangerous man in the city. I took a step back. Victor's lips parted slightly in something that looked like relief. And that's when all hell broke loose. The invasion. It started with a scream. Not a sharp, panicked one, but something short and brutal. Cut off mid-breath. Then came the first gunshot. A single, muffled pop in the hallway. Then another. Then a fucking storm. The sound of bullets ripping through flesh, the metallic scent of blood mixing with the sterile stench of the hospital. My gut turned to ice. They were here. Dominic's men. I moved on instinct, grabbing Victor's forepole and yanking the line free. He groaned as I wrapped my arms under his shoulders and hauled him up. He was dead weight, weak as hell, but I didn't have time to be gentle. Can you walk? I hissed. He gave a sluggish nod. Barely. Then let's fucking go. I threw his arm over my shoulder, half dragging him toward the emergency exit. The halls were chaos, nurses and doctors scrambling, ducking, hiding. The smell of gunpowder thickened the air. We made it 3 steps before the first gunman stepped into the hallway. Black suit. Masked face. Gun up. I didn't think. I just acted. I grabbed the nearest crash cart and shoved it forward, sending it barreling into him. He stumbled, his shot going wild, shattering the glass window behind me. I turned the corner and ran. Victor stumbled beside me, groaning with every step, but he moved. That was enough. More gunfire erupted behind us. Screams. A nurse's voice begging. Another gunshot, then silence. I didn't look back. I knew what I'd see. A target on my back. We crashed into the stairwell, the heavy door slamming behind us. Victor sagged against the wall, his face pale, dripping sweat. He was barely holding on. Fuck. I crouched in front of him, my breath coming hard. Listen to me. You want to live? He let out a breathless, humorless chuckle. What do you think? Then get your shit together. Because they're not here to take you home, Victor. They're here to put a bullet in your skull. His expression darkened. My father. Your father set this up, I snapped. He paid me to kill you. And when I didn't, he sent his fucking army. For the first time, real fear flickered in his gaze. Good. He needed to understand. I reached into my scrub pocket and pulled out a hospital security badge, swiping it across the emergency stairwell lock. If I could get to the staff parking garage, we had a chance. A slim one. But then footsteps. Above us. Moving fast. Too fast. I yanked Victor up and shoved him forward. Move. We hit the parking lot door just as the first bullets tore into the wall behind us. Escape plan. Improvise or die. I spotted an ambulance parked at the far end of the lot. The back doors were open, a paramedic leaning inside, loading supplies. It was our only shot. I sprinted toward it, dragging Victor behind me. The paramedic turned, startled. Hey! I didn't give him time to argue. I punched him in the throat. He went down hard, choking. I shoved Victor inside and climbed in after him. The keys were in the ignition. Lucky me. I floored it. The ambulance lurched forward, tires screeching against the pavement. Behind us, the gunmen spilled out of the hospital doors, weapons raised. Bullets ripped into the rear of the vehicle, shattering the glass, but I didn't stop. I plowed through the lot, blew through the security gate, and tore onto the street. Victor groaned beside me, slumping against the seat. He looked half-conscious, his shirt dark with fresh blood. I gritted my teeth. I needed a safe house. Somewhere to regroup, patch him up, and figure out what the fuck I had just gotten myself into. But first, I needed to disappear. I swerved onto a side street and gunned it, tires screeching. I could already hear sirens in the distance. Cops? No, not yet. Dominic's men wouldn't call them. They'd handle this their own way. Which meant I had a small window before they hunted me down. My hands were slick with sweat against the wheel. My heart slammed against my ribs. I was a walking dead woman. But if I played this right, so was Dominic Russo. A new enemy. We drove for 30 minutes before I finally pulled into an abandoned lot near the docks. The ambulance was wrecked, bullet holes cracked windshield, a fucking mess. Victor was barely holding on. Shallow breaths. Glazed eyes. His body was shutting down. I grabbed the med kit from the back and got to work, pressing gauze to his side, wrapping bandages around his wounds. Stay with me, Victor. His eyelids fluttered. Why are you helping me? I should have told him the truth. That I had no choice. That I was already in too deep. That walking away wasn't an option anymore. Instead, I said, because if I don't, your father wins. His fingers curled into a weak fist. I saw the hate flash across his face. Good. Hate meant fight. We can't stay here, I muttered, finishing the last bandage. Your father's going to burn this city to the ground looking for you. Victor let out a dry, pained chuckle. Then let's give him something to find. I frowned. What the hell does that mean? His lips curled into something almost feral. You saved my life, he murmured. Now help me end his. I stared at him, heart pounding. I had gone from a paid killer to a fugitive. And now I was about to start a war. Chapter 4, The Betrayal. There's a moment when you realize your life is no longer your own. It happens slowly at first, small choices, tiny cracks in the foundation of your soul. You tell yourself it's just this one time, just this one thing, and then you'll stop. You'll go back. You'll be normal again. But then one choice turns into two, and two turns into 1,000. And before you know it, you're standing in the middle of a fucking war zone, bleeding, hunted, with a mob prince at your side and no way out. This wasn't about survival anymore. This was about revenge. And I had just thrown myself into the deep end of a world I had no business being in. A dead woman walking. Victor's words hung in the air between us. Now help me end him. I should have said no. I should have told him I wasn't that person, that I didn't go after men like Dominic Russo. Men with power, money, connections. Men who made people like me disappear. But I didn't. Because deep down, I knew it wasn't just Victor he wanted dead. It was me too. Victor's father wouldn't let this go. The moment I chose to save his son, I signed my own death warrant. I wasn't just a nurse anymore. I was a liability. and liabilities didn't live long. So I nodded. Just once. And that was enough. Victor exhaled a shaky breath, leaning against the cracked leather seat of the stolen sedan we had ditched the ambulance for. His skin was pale, his wounds still fresh, but there was something alive in his eyes now. "First things first," he said hoarsely. "We need firepower." I glanced at him. "And where the hell do you expect us to get that?" He gave a small smirk, one that looked too much like his father's. "I know a guy. A visit to the Devil's Armory." We drove in silence. The streets were quiet, too quiet. Dominic's men weren't out in the open yet, but they were there. Waiting. Watching. I could feel it in my bones. Victor directed me to an old warehouse on the south side of the city. The kind of place where bad deals happened and bodies were left to rot. We parked, and I helped him out of the car, his weight heavy against me. He was weak. We didn't have time to be weak. The warehouse door was unlocked. That wasn't comforting. I led the way inside, my heart hammering in my chest. The moment we stepped into the dimly lit interior, I felt it, the shift in the air. "We weren't alone. Either you're here to buy," a deep voice rumbled from the shadows, "or you're here to die." I turned, hand twitching toward the knife I had stolen from the ambulance. A man stepped forward. Tall. Broad. Built like a fucking tank. A thick beard scars down one cheek, tattoos creeping up his neck. His eyes locked onto Victor, and something flickered behind them. "Well, well," he muttered, crossing his arms. "Didn't think I'd see you alive again, Principe." Victor gave a pained chuckle. "Surprise." The man, who I guessed was the guy Victor knew, narrowed his gaze. "If you're here, that means Dominic wants you dead." Victor nodded. The man glanced at me. "And her." Victor hesitated. And that's when I knew. This was the moment. My moment. Victor was deciding whether I was useful. Whether keeping me alive was worth it. I met his gaze, forcing my voice to stay steady. "If I wanted you dead, I'd have done it back in the hospital." Silence. Then, Victor gave a small nod. "She's with me," he said simply. The big guy grunted. "Then let's get you some toys." The setup. The armory was a fucking war zone in itself. Guns. Explosives. Tactical gear. This wasn't just some back alley operation. This was serious. And the deeper we walked, the more I realized just who Victor Russo had been before he was bleeding out in a hospital bed. This wasn't some spoiled heir. This was a man who had been raised in blood, steel, and fire. I watched him move through the weapons cache like he had done it 1,000 times. He wasn't hesitant. He wasn't second-guessing. This was muscle memory. He handed me a gun. A Glock. "Ever used one?" he asked. I met his eyes. "I can learn." He smirked. "Good answer." By the time we were finished, we had enough firepower to make a goddamn army nervous. And for the first time, I wasn't just some nurse caught in the crossfire. I was a soldier. The trap. We needed leverage. Killing Dominic wasn't about storming into his estate and putting a bullet in his skull. That was suicide. No, we needed to make him come to us. So we set the trap. Victor called his father's second-in-command from a burner phone. Told him he wanted a meeting. Told him he had proof that Dominic had sold out his own men to the feds. It was a lie. But it was a good one. And just like that, Dominic Russo walked into our sights. The double cross. The meeting spot was an old shipping yard near the docks. Midnight. No backup. Just Dominic, two of his men, and us. We waited in the shadows. Guns ready. Heartbeat steady. The moment Dominic stepped out of his SUV, I knew something was wrong. He wasn't worried. He wasn't nervous. He was smiling. And then I saw it. The red dot. A sniper scope. Not on Victor. On me. My stomach plummeted. Victor's voice was too calm. "Should have known," he murmured. Dominic's smirk widened. "Blood is blood, son." And that's when I realized. Victor fucking sold me out. The firefight. I didn't have time to think. Didn't have time to breathe. Dominic raised his hand, and everything exploded. Gunfire erupted. The sniper took his shot. I dove. The bullet missed, barely. "Victor?" That traitorous bastard was already moving. He didn't run. He fought. But not for me. For himself. I hit the ground hard, rolling behind a stack of shipping crates as bullets ripped through the air. My chest heaved. Betrayal burned in my gut. Victor fucking used me. He never needed my help. He needed bait. And I fell for it. I gritted my teeth, gripping my gun. I wasn't dying tonight. If Victor wanted to play this game, then I was going to end it. And I was going to make sure he knew exactly who the fuck he betrayed. Chapter 5, The Final Breath. Betrayal doesn't hit all at once. It seeps in, like a slow-moving poison. The moment I saw that sniper scope land on me instead of Victor, something inside me snapped. I wasn't angry. I wasn't panicked. I was calm. Because now I finally understood. I was never Victor's partner. I was never his ally. I was his fucking bait. A war in the dark. The shipping yard was a war zone. Gunfire lit up the night, the sharp cracks echoing through the stacks of rusted containers. The smell of gunpowder filled my lungs, burning the back of my throat. I hit the ground hard, rolling behind cover as bullets tore through metal inches from my head. My heart pounded, but my mind was clear. Focused. I wasn't running. Not anymore. I checked my Glock, one in the chamber, three extra mags. It wasn't much, but it was enough to make them bleed. I peeked around the corner, saw Dominic's men spreading out, their guns raised, their eyes scanning the shadows. And then I saw him. Victor. He moved like a ghost through the chaos, weaving between gunfire, untouched. Because they weren't aiming for him. They were aiming for me. I clenched my teeth. That smug, two-faced son of a bitch. I had saved his life. I had risked everything for him. And he repaid me by serving me up like a fucking lamb to the slaughter. Fine. He wanted a body to die here tonight? I'd make sure it was his. The executioner's dance. I moved fast. Three shots, center mass. One of Dominic's men went down, blood spraying against the rusted metal. The others reacted instantly. Gunfire shredded my cover, bullets slamming into steel. Sparks flew. I ducked low, shifting my weight, moving fast. I wasn't just a nurse. I was a killer. And they had underestimated me. I weaved through the maze of containers, silent as death. I knew how to move, how to think, how to disappear into the cracks of chaos. Another man turned the corner, his rifle raised. Too slow. I slammed my knife into his throat, twisting fast, cutting deep. Blood spurted over my hands. He gurgled. Dropped. Two down. I grabbed his weapon and kept moving. And then I heard it. Victor's voice. Shouting. I edged closer, keeping to the shadows. My pulse pounded in my ears. Victor stood near the docks, face to face with Dominic. His father. The man who had ordered his death. But now. Now they stood together. And they were fucking talking. The devil's son. You really thought I was going to let you kill me? Victor's voice was calm, smooth. Almost amused. Dominic smirked. I had to try, son. Son. The word cut through me like a knife. Victor wasn't just playing me. He had played everyone. You used her. Dominic continued, shaking his head. Smart. Victor shrugged. She was useful. I gripped my gun so hard my knuckles ached. Useful. That's all I had been to him. Not a partner. Not an ally. Just a disposable pawn in his fucking game. I stepped out of the shadows, gun raised. Victor turned, locking eyes with me. And for the first time, I saw something that almost looked like surprise. Like he hadn't expected me to make it this far. Dominic's men spun, aiming their weapons. Too late. I pulled the trigger. Twice. The first bullet hit Dominic. The second hit Victor. Both men staggered, blood blooming across their suits. Dominic collapsed instantly. Dead before he hit the ground. Victor? Victor stayed standing. For a moment, he looked down at the wound in his chest, blinking, almost fascinated. Then he laughed. Not loud. Not manic. Just a soft, bitter chuckle. Didn't think you had it in you, he murmured, swaying. I didn't answer. Because I wasn't done. I walked forward, step by step, my gun still trained on him. His men were scattered now, unsure. Their leader was dead. Their prince was bleeding out. They didn't know what to do. Victor dropped to his knees, a shaky exhale escaping his lips. You were supposed to die here, he rasped. I tilted my head. Guess you should have picked a better pawn. His lips twitched into something that might have been a smirk. Then I pulled the trigger. One last time. Victor Russo, mob prince, traitor, manipulator, slumped forward. Dead. And just like that, the war was over. The aftermath. The docks were silent. No more gunfire. No more screams. Just bodies. Blood. The scent of death in the air. Dominic's men scattered. They had no reason to fight anymore. No leader. No power. They left me standing there, alone, surrounded by ghosts. I exhaled shakily, the weight of what I had done settling over me. I had killed a king. I had slain a prince. And now? Now I had to disappear. I turned on my heel and walked away, leaving the bodies behind, leaving the past behind. I had made my choice. I had picked a side. And for the first time in my life, I knew exactly who the fuck I was. I wasn't a nurse. I wasn't a victim. I wasn't someone's pawn. I was the executioner. And I had just taken my final breath as Olivia Mercer. From this moment on, I was someone new. Someone deadly. Someone unstoppable. The end.